This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
I am like beginning to get ready and he basically walks in and he's like, I'm not gonna marry you. Signing that piece of paper means I'm signing up to be miserable for the rest of my life. We have a house, we have a dog, we have all of this whole life together that I didn't want to throw away. In that moment, I said, we're going to have the party. I'm at my wedding that I planned for 2 years, and the one person I wanted here with me is MIA.
Your wedding day is the one time you should be guaranteed a date, but sometimes that just isn't the case. Hey, what's up? It's Abby from the Breakup Breakdown. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. If you're new here, this is the podcast that gets the details of the messy breakups you want to know more about. Like maybe it's something you've seen on TikTok, or maybe you've always been curious about that girl you know from college who had that long-term boyfriend, and then all of a sudden she was kind of cryptic about something going on in her life, and then you realize, wait, I think she went through a breakup and I kind of want to know more. You can submit all of those tips and suggestions in the episode description. You'll find a submission form link there. And hey, you can also submit your own breakup story if you want to come on. Whatever it is, we love hearing the story and getting some good lessons along the way. And as always, if there's a certain part of this interview that you want to jump to, you can find timestamps in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of the Breakup Breakdown. Thanks for tuning in. So this week, we've got a submission from TikTok where somebody said that their fiance broke up with them on the day they were supposed to get married. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence shelter throughout the country just to raise more awareness if you want to help out and you feel called to do so. This week we're giving a shout out to Coburn Place in Indianapolis, Indiana. They offer support and safe housing for survivors of domestic violence and their children. So for more details, check out the episode description. Okay, so now into the submission. So this is a submission that came from TikTok because I had gotten tagged in somebody's video who was talking about how her fiance broke up with her on her wedding day, which I think is like every girl's worst nightmare. Like you think you've gotten this far, you've gotten the ring, you've gotten the fairy tale, and then all of a sudden at the buzzer, it's like, yep, yeah, that's not happening. So she was talking about it in one video, but then of course I had to do a little digging, had to do a little stalking, and I got so invested because I had seen videos of her at this bachelorette party that just looked like a blast, and videos of her wedding that I guess she still attended. And it just broke my heart because nobody thinks when you get that ring on your finger and someone professes their undying love for you that this is ever a viable outcome. Nobody plans to break off a relationship with somebody they thought they were going to spend the rest of their life with. So anyway, there was a story time on her TikTok where she was talking about how she found out about what was likely the catalyst of the breakup. And it was all from a phone call that she got from him while he was on a date. So they've broken up at this point and she gets a call from him and it starts to bring a little bit more clarity as to why things ended between the two of them. So we're going to get all the details when we break down this week's breakup.
So we actually met in college. It's funny. I always thought that I had like a crush on him and there are so many things, but we met, I was a freshman. We kind of ran in the same circles. But one of the funny stories that I did tell is we were in classes together and I used to actually count the number of seats because I knew we would do group work. So I would sit in the seat knowing that I'd be in the same group as him. So it's like kind of an infamous story. But we actually didn't get together then. He was in one place and I was another. But years later, we actually ended up getting together and he was graduating in December and I was graduating in May. So at first we were like trying to keep it light, but then actually like fell in love. He actually said, I love you the night he graduated. So it moved from like one place to another. And then we had to figure that out. From there, we had like such an interesting story of after college, like we broke up. I was going back to New York City and he was staying where he was, which was in another state. But my mom actually encouraged me when I was driving up from college to just like stop there. The drive's long. So I did. And then he decided that actually he wanted, it was more so on him when we broke up. So it was when I got there, he kind of was like, I actually can do the distance. Like, we'll figure this out. We'll figure this out. So basically then we were long distance. And I think one of the best stories that is kind of sad now to tell, but when we were long distance, I was always a little more upset to like when we parted ways and how are we going to figure this out? He would always say like, one day we're going to laugh about this. And then that kind of turned into like our motto when something went wrong or it was really stressful. So it was like, one day we're going to laugh about this. And when we finally, after a year of that, we finally got back together physically, and we looked at houses, and I moved back to where he was. We did. We like laughed about it. And so then it just continued to be this thing where we laughed about anything that was going wrong. So I think part of the reason like we fall in love was like that lightness of, you know, we're going to figure this out together. We're in this together and can't stop us. We've done the long distance. We've done young to moving into like careers and all of that. So basically that's how that all started with that.
Oh, that's got to be so hard to look back on those moments that feel so romantic and like such a key part of your story. And now to have it in such a different light has to be heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's different now because the more we get into this, the more you're like, well, what actually was happening? Was it us in it together? Like, what was happening? And it is heartbreaking to think of the person that you thought it was going to be in this forever, and then to look back where you are standing now and like your whole world collapsed and you're building it back up. Like, who was this person I was with for 7 years?
Yeah, like I don't even feel like I know you looking back on what actually happens. How long were you guys together, period? And at what point did the relationship start to fall apart?
We were together for a total of 7 years. And so the first year was basically college, like that last final year, us trying to figure out how to be adults. The second year was that long distance and we were commuting and we were actually pretty good at it. Like we, once a month, one of us was going to the other place. That third year, we had that laugh about it moment. But once we moved in, there were signs. Looking back, hindsight's 2020. Looking back, when we moved in, that's when the lying started. But it was also so small. Like, it was little things. But, you know, you're looking at this person and you're like, how can you look at me and just lie even that small? And why are you lying? Like, and so with that, you look and you're like, if you can lie about this, what else can you lie about? So now we have a year and that's kind of becoming like, okay, we can be trustful. We're living together. We're progressing our relationship. But then a year later is kind of where the start of the collapse happened, because that's when COVID hit. Right before COVID was when I was worried. I'm like, we've moved in. We've been together. We did long distance. Where are we going? Like, are we getting married? Where's my ring? Also, the counteraction of like, I said I was from New York City, but this was down south. Tons of our friends were getting married and having babies. And at this point, my New York friends are not in that point, but I'm like, what am I supposed to be doing here? So that was something I was afraid of, but he was acting funny. And I thought it was because of that. So COVID hits. And one day, I remember this so vividly. It's like one of those things that when it happens to you, it's just like, I can be in that moment right now. We were drinking margaritas on our porch, like our back porch, and we were just having fun. And I went in the house and I saw his watch was, you know, blinking that it was going to die. And I feel like I've seen so many of these stories on like TikTok in the news. So I picked it up and I was like, let me go put it on a charger, not thinking anything. And then the heart came up where you're like, oh no, and your heart sinks. And so, you know, you do what they call the crazy girlfriend thing, and you scroll and you go in and you see that it was on a do not disturb, and you see that it was initials, it wasn't anyone's actual name. So now, like, I'm honestly shaking, telling, I'm scrolling, there's messages and there's all of this, and I'm just standing in our bathroom like reading on a little watch, and it's like unbelievable. So from there, I like just held it up and I just was like, what is this? And looking back again, I was young, and I'm going to keep blaming myself for being young and knowing the tools that I had then. But he ultimately owned up. And I thought that was a good thing. I was like, oh, he fully owned up. He was saying, I did do that. And he kept saying, I don't know why. I don't know why I did this.
What did some of the messages say? Like, was it obvious that this was an affair?
Yeah, it was a lot of like, the worst ones were like, you're so amazing, coming from his side. Like, I didn't even care what she was saying. I was trying to figure out what he was saying. And it was like, you are just so amazing. And there were just like, you know, the bit emojis of it all. And you're just like, they have the heart, the cartoons, and you're just like, what is actually happening here? And so he ends up, and again, that's where I kind of went into the lying thing. I'm like, so now you're lying to me, you're lying to her. Like, you don't know what you're, if you're saying you don't know, like, you're now lying to her, and now someone else is involved here. And breaking it back down, I had been like traveling for work, and he would tell parts of stories of where he was, and then it turned out like he was with her. So that was, that was difficult too, to put that together, to be like, I was having like a really good time and I was away, and this is what was happening in reverse. And that's why you're acting weird, not because I'm like pushing this marriage thing. But ultimately, and this is also really, I'm a girl's girl through and through. He was like, I'm going to block her, I'm going to delete her, it's fine. And I said, you should tell her. I was like, this poor girl is also going to deal with heartbreak. And I don't even know why I was like saying this, but I just kept imagining being her and not knowing why this guy like all of a sudden just completely ghosted me. And again, I see the stories, I hear my friends. I was like, you need to tell her that you have a live-in girlfriend. Like, this is why this can't happen. But he didn't end up doing that, and wish her the best. I don't know where she is now. And I didn't know her, so.
Do you think she had any idea that he had a girlfriend, or do you think she knew and was dating him anyway?
I honestly don't know. I like to hope it was the other way around. With that also, one of the first questions I did ask him was like, has she been in our house? Like, that was something I don't think I would have gotten over. So I don't know if he was smart by giving this answer or not, but he basically was like, no, then she'd know about you. So that made me think, you know, there's pictures of us.
Yeah.
That makes me think that she didn't know. Again, I'm a girl's girl. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. But from there, I kind of looked at him, and he was sad about it and kept saying like, I don't know why I did this. I kind of looked at him and I was like, obviously we're not getting married this second. But do you see your life with me? Like, is it worth it for me to stick it out and be here? Or I will go back to New York City. Like, I'm not from here. I'm still struggling to make friends. COVID hit. So now, as I was making that progression, I just have you. So if you don't see like this is what you want, please let me go. And then, of course, I talked to my friends, my sister, my mom, and the answers were just all over the place. And it was the pandemic. So you're like, where would I go? What would I? It, nobody knows what's happening, because I believe it was like April or May when I figured this out. So it was everything was up in the air. Nobody knew it was happening. There was like this wild, wild disease. So ultimately, he was like, no, I want the rest of my life with you. So I stayed, and we worked it out, and we actually went to like couples therapists. We also worked on like, why can't we move from the girlfriend to fiance to wife, but why can't we move to that? And we really worked on it. And honestly, I remember the day he woke up and was just like, yeah, I want to marry you. It was in October. I remember it was October. And I remember just being like, I've never heard you say that before. And honestly, he got a ring like in 2 weeks after that. I gave him like a picture, like he was asking about rings. He actually bought the exact ring I wanted. I gave him a few pictures, and he had the person, this custom made beautiful, beautiful ring with like vintage cut stones. And he had asked my sister, do you think she would like, I know it's a pave band, but he was saying the diamonds around the band. And she's like, oh yeah, more diamonds. Like, he added extra. And it was just like, everything felt back on track. So this was, again, not immediate, it was about a year and a half later. I felt really happy, the vibes were good, and I was like, okay, we weren't married. Sometimes this happens, girlfriends, boyfriends, we're young, we're figuring it out. But now, like, he liked his job, I liked my job, we have this house, we have cultivated more friends, and now he's gonna propose. So with the proposal, he also did it in my favorite place, which is Bryant Park in New York City, with my friends and family all around. We actually were supposed to get married in Bryant Park. So he did it right in front of where. So now it's ruined forever. But he did it in front of the Christmas tree, in front of where we were supposed to get married.
I hate when men.
My most favorite place, and we stayed at the hotel when we were long distance. And I always told him, I'm like, that's where I want to get married. So the thought process And it's always so confusing now to be like, look at how much you put into this, how much you are trying to show, like, I know you, I love you. Because, you know, you listen to the people with the shut up ring, but this is not a run of the mill ring that he just picked up. This was a custom made ring that took weeks to make. My sister was involved. And then you had my whole family involved in where I'm from. In my favorite place.
It was personal. It was personalized. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just something to get you to shut up about your relationship and marriage.
Right.
This is clearly a relationship that had legs.
Again, you know, the ups and downs, how everyone says, but that's, I think, part of being in a relationship is sometimes choosing to fix something and choosing to, you know, believe that if somebody's saying they want to be with you, they want to be with you.
It's like, I believe that he loved me because he told me that he loved me. I believe that he wanted to be with me because he said he wanted to be with me. It's so unfair.
And some of the things are like, you know, believe actions over words. Look at those actions. Mm-hmm. How was I ever supposed to guess that those actions did not mean that you did not want to marry me? In what world?
I don't know. I don't know what world he was living in, but
it wasn't a good one.
It wasn't a good one.
So we actually were engaged for 2 years because, again, the pandemic, everyone moved their wedding. So we got engaged in December of 2021, and we didn't get the date until October 2023. So all the way around, like, we had time. That's what I'm trying to say here. Like, there was a lot of time to speak up and say these things. So ultimately, there were definitely, again, some trust issues from the past where I was feeling that things were shady or sketchy, or I wasn't sure what was happening. And that's also, when he had cheated originally, I got a therapist to deal with that, because that's a traumatic event, especially when you're in a location where your friends and family aren't, and that's it. So I did. And the weird part of when I get into the after story and what all came out is that he watched me like try to be better for him and go to therapy. And you watched me like really try to work on like the feedback. And that's where this all gets weird. Like, there's 2 years of you watching me be like, all right, how do I include you in the wedding? How do I make you happy about this wedding? What parts do you like? And, you know, we ended up getting like, he really wanted trombones in the band. So we're talking about the trombones. We're talking about the honeymoon. Like, I'm trying to find things like where I do feel sketched out and there are red flags, but I'm like, you know, he's a guy, it's wedding planning. I don't know. But again, he's watching me try to fix things always. I'm always trying to like make myself a better person as well. Not even for him, but just, you know, it's good to have a clear set of mind. So ultimately, He was like introverted, and I'm definitely an extrovert. So my therapist and I had come up with this plan that it might make him more comfortable to do a little courthouse wedding a couple of days before we did this big New York City wedding with all these 200 people. So that's where this really just takes a dive. So we got our marriage license, also like a rough day for us as well. And that I always question now looking back at that, because we got in a fight and then we were on our way to the courthouse. But nevertheless, we did it and then had this license. So we now have to leave for New York City the next Monday, Tuesday, because we are driving. We have a dog. We're leaving the dog somewhere. I have three dresses for the the whole weekend. We don't want to put them on the plane. So we're about to get the rental car, but that Sunday is when we were supposed to get legally married. So 2 weeks before, I see him getting nervous. I see it. I actually asked him the day all the money was due. I was like, listen, before I give this to everyone, are you sure? Like, you seem so nervous. Like, can I help you? Can I talk to you? And he was like, just do it. Just go. Like, so I was like, okay, we're doing this. We're getting married. We're having this wedding. And I just saw him getting more nervous and nervous. And I actually like called my dad and I was like, what? I know he's a guy. Guys get nervous. This is a big step. They don't know. And I feel like my dad still kicks himself for being like, of course he's nervous. He's, you know, he's signing up for marriage. He's going to get a wife. Like, of course. And he's talking me down because I was like, I don't know, like, really, I feel like he's having a panic attack. I don't know. My dad's like, no, we all feel that way. I'm calling like uncles, friends, they're like, yeah, we all feel that way. He's going to his friends. And again, hindsight, what he said, his friend said, was interesting, because what he had said to calm down was that they told him the grass isn't greener. Like, why wouldn't you get married? And who do you think is going to, who do you think you're going to find that's better than her for you? Like, we like her with you. She's supportive and all of that. I was questioning. I was like, are you trying to look for somebody else? Like, is that the problem? You're worried about being stuck with me for the rest of your life? So that is something I asked. And he was like, no, like, that's, you know, guy talk. And I was like, okay, so everyone's on board. Your friends are on board. I'm on board. Everyone's on board. We're getting to the Sunday. We actually went out to breakfast that morning and we were holding hands across the table. We're talking about Christmas Eve, which is way after the wedding. We're talking about my birthday in January, what we're doing. We're talking about future tense after the wedding. And, you know, we went to go see if, like, the Ulta had my perfume. So he's still being helpful. And, you know, this is the craziest part. He was making a card box, a wooden card box for when people had their gifts that he was, like, wood carving our initials into. And so, of course, I think you're on board. Like, this is, who does that? Because I was like, we can order it off of Amazon. Don't stress yourself out. Like, we can get, like, an acrylic one on it. And he is making... And it's beautiful. I'm so excited. I'm watching him make this card box. And about, I want to say it's like 3 hours later, I am like beginning to get ready. And he basically walks in and he's like, I'm not going to marry you. Yeah. Honestly, I take a seat on the floor. Like, he is sitting on like the edge of our tub. Again, these memories are like, I could transport myself back there right now. He's sitting on the edge of our tub and I just sit between where our room and the bathroom is. I'm like crisscross applesauce. And I'm like, talk me through this. Talk me through
this. How did we get here? You're literally carving our name into wood in the next room.
And I, even more embarrassing now, and none of my friends would ever say that this is embarrassing, I was sending pictures. I was taking little pictures of him and putting the gif of Noah from The Notebook being like, he's building. Like, he, so, and they all knew about this box. And I was like, I have just sent all my friends about how romantic you are. A lot of our close friends and family know that tonight is the night we sign the piece of paper before we come to New York City. There are people that hadn't been to New York City there in New York City, taking a week vacation, ready for this event. So anyway, I sit down and I'm like, okay, you have to talk me through this. And so he's like, signing that piece of paper means I'm signing up to be miserable for the rest of my life.
Did he expand upon this so-called misery that he's signing up for?
I don't know. This has been the theme word about like me and the wedding. And I'm not, again, the train of thought is something I can't follow. And that's, you know, what I said in my TikTok. I was like, you know, he had said that it was miserable and I was making him miserable and all of this stuff. And it was like heartbreak. Like, I was sinking and being like, okay, my thought was, how do I fix this? I can fix this. We have a few days. We have it. And I kind of was like, if it's the piece of paper, you know, forget about it. Forget about this piece of paper. We have people waiting for us. My nails are done. My hair is done. Like, you just watched me go to a 3-hour nail appointment to get like these beautiful acrylics. Like, also, and you had me try like the wedding band on to see how it looked with the nails. And I was just so confused at like, this was my person. This was supposed to be my forever person. And now he's sitting here telling me I forever to me sounds awful. And forever to you is like something you were excited about. So ultimately, after I say like, we don't have to sign the paper, he was kind of like, well, if I can't sign that piece of paper, that means we're not meant to be. Because I was like, let's go to the wedding. We've been together for 7 years. Everyone that loves us is there. You know, we have this 3-week honeymoon through Europe. I was like, let's get out of our element. Like, let's go have vacation and not think about it. Let's just party, vacation, and then we'll come back and we'll figure the piece of paper out. Like, we have a house, we have a dog, we have all of this whole life together that I didn't want to throw away. So that was that. And he basically was like, no, like I this is done. So this is going back and forth through the night. I'm trying to piece together what's happening. I'm not telling anyone. I told one person that I need to go like go on a walk, and we like went on a walk, and she also was like, listen, go get the minivan that you're renting. Just go. Like, until he doesn't get in that car, I don't know. Like, leave the paper alone. Like you're saying, who cares? Leave it alone. Like, and so everyone's in agreement of like, okay, this, he's having some sort of little slip, something. And so I get back and I just like, we're not looking at each other, not speaking to each other. So it's 1 a.m. now. And I finally call my mom and I was like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm like all alone. I need to tell somebody. It's really, we didn't get married. She's the first one to find out, like, we did not get married. We did not sign this piece of paper. It was actually, this is so bad. His mom had sent a congratulations text message to us. And this is what's happening. And we see that congratulations come through. And we don't, neither one of us say anything, but it was so heartbreaking. It was so heartbreaking to get that in the middle of, like, what I was dealing with. Now my mom's about to get on a plane from New York. She's like, you can't be alone. Like, sure, again, like, let's not do anything about the wedding yet. Let's not tell anybody. I'm coming down. So now it's probably around 4 a.m. We're still awake. This is a mess. This is the part of the TikTok where I'm like, my mom's coming. I can't be alone. Like, that's my resource. I'm not close to home. And this is, my life might be falling apart. And that's where he then gets his camping bag. That's where he, you know, starts packing long sleeves, rolling up a sleeping bag. And he's like, I'm not going to be here. I'm trekking into the woods and I'm going to go camping. Meanwhile, again, we have a house. We have a dog. Like, we have 200 people who are steaming their outfits, ready to get on planes, trains, to go to New York City. And so he backs out. I can't forget these moments. I just watch him back out. It's like the sun is just rising and he is pulling out of our garage with camping stuff. And I'm here with our puppy and a mess. And my mom's not going to be here for another 6 hours. And I'm just alone. I'm just alone and not knowing what to do. It all gets really blurry, but I don't hear from him for days. And it kind of becomes me reaching out, being like, we have to deal with other things. Because his mom had actually called me to tell me it's officially canceled. He's told all the groomsmen, and we actually started telling our side. Essentially, my mom and dad and my sister know. My brother doesn't know. He's off in college. People are asking where my mom is. I have like a very close family and they're like, where is she? Like, she's not in New York. Everyone has each other's location. They're like, what's happening? My dad's trying to like make up these stories. But eventually, like, now his mom has called me. It's probably like 2 o'clock. And she's like, no, he's not changing his mind. And essentially she told me he's not coming back till you leave the house. And I was like, well,
he's just going to live in the woods until you decide to get out. What if you never left?
One of his friends went, and I was communicating with his friend's wife. His friend went and they went to his house and they got him out of the woods. But I still have the screenshot of, I should delete it, but there's a screenshot of me screenshotting him in the randomest part where there's just trees and rivers and it's just his location. And it's the wild, like, because when, not that nobody doesn't believe me, but this is such a far-fetched story that I'm like, no, I was sending people. I was like, I don't know where this is. Somebody go. I also was very concerned about him. I was like, what is this reaction? I'm very scared. I'm having his friend help. And they were making sure to let me know that he was safe and all of that. Because on top of this, like, another whole layer of, like, I don't know what this person's doing. This isn't the person I know, like, it's so scary. It was, he basically was staying there until I left to go to the party, because in that moment, when I'm with my mom and my sister, I said, we're going to have the party. So we didn't uninvite anyone. We just, whoever was asking, and it was mostly our side. Like, I also, with his mom telling me that they canceled, I was also getting the hotel calling me, being like, people are canceling their hotel rooms. Like, what's happening? The venues calling me because it was connected. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And they're like, should we be canceling? And essentially we're like, no, we're going to turn this into a dinner party. We have this band, we have all the hors d'oeuvres, the food, like nothing, we're not getting a cent back. Like we're 4 days out. This is it. So the only thing that really had to happen was I did go and buy a new dress. I was not going to show up in my wedding gown, but the party was actually fun. Isn't the right word, because there was a lot of time where I remember at one point I was sitting and just staring, and I felt so bad for my mom's friend. I was staring through her though. She just happened to be in like my line of sight. And it was like that TikTok sound with the screaming, like everyone's dancing and everyone's taking shots and having wine. And I'm sitting there like, I'm at my wedding that I planned for 2 years. And the one person I wanted here with me is MIA. That was that. But other than that, like I tried to have the best time I could. There are videos, and I also put that up on TikTok because people were so interested. And to see that, I had a sparkly dress. I did a lot of tequila shots. I had someone following me around with a water and a tequila shot, one of the waiters, and he was so sweet. He's like, okay, now drink the water. But then I had to go back to where we lived. I had to get on a plane and essentially pack up my whole life and figure out my next steps. So from there, it got sort of hostile. And this is the point where he was kind of trying to make it into my fault and saying like, miserable, crazy. He has to look out for number one. He's been so concerned about me and my anxiety again. Like this is always this theme that it was like, I was not trusting or had this anxiety, or it was just this theme of he was telling me like his friends think I'm crazy, his family thinks I'm, he's right, and I'm a mess because I'm like, where is this coming from? Like we were supposed to be married, we were supposed to be on our honeymoon right now. Like I'm getting notifications from the food tour in Spain that we're not there. This is where it gets a little nutty and where I was provoked to just drop everything on TikTok. He started to butt dial, and I use air quotes, because the first one I got, I answered, and it was girls screaming, like, woo, like it was a football game night. And I hear that he either is with girls or there's girls around, whatever. I hang up, calls right back. Again, it's the woo, woo. I hang up. Now I'm like, okay, the third time must be him being like, oh, this was an accident. Like I'm realized third time again. Now I text him. I'm like, stop. This is like hurting my feelings. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so I'm like, okay, fine. This is a butt dial. And this is important, honestly, because of what happens next. This is a butt dial. I'm not thinking about it. We're all having fun. It's the day after Thanksgiving. I was having fun that day until this was happening. And then actually my friend scooped me up and we went to a karaoke bar in the middle of New York City. And they were like, you're just going to sing. You're just going to belt it out. And it ended up being fine because I have such a great support system. I.e. the wedding with 100 people. Now they're all around and just trying to amp me up. Then the phone calls between us, and we were supposed to, you know, like figure out the rings and figure out all these little details that were left. They started getting like pretty, again, like hostile, and things were my fault. And I, for the last 2 years, just was so crazy about the wedding and the funds and the spending. And it just turned so interesting into this person that like absolutely hated me, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was trying to be so docile. Everyone was like, the best thing you can do is just live your life, go on the up and up, like try your best. And it's also exasperating to try to do that when you're so like so heartbroken. Like this wasn't, you know, sometimes it's like, I thought I was going to marry this person, but it just didn't end up that way. I was at our wedding. Like we were supposed to get, this was supposed to be forever. And I'm heartbroken. I'm trying, you know, I got a new apartment. I'm alone in a studio. I'm trying to get to this new normal of I don't even have a person to like go to the grocery store with, like that kind of thing. And he's just telling me like all these awful things. Like I don't know. I was so confused. It was ironic that it was the week before my birthday. I get this call at 10 p.m. and it's in my pocket, and I pick it up and I see that there's a 3-minute voicemail. This is me being so silly. I'm thinking it's hit him. It's been 3 months. It hit him. He's just gonna say sorry. Not like we're getting back together, but like, you know, things could have been handled differently. You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this all happened. No, it is an end of a date butt dial. Again, air quotes. It's an end of a date. It is a woman thanking him for dinner, him being like, of course I would buy you dinner. I'm listening to, and meanwhile, I'm out with my friend. It's a Friday night. I'm out and my stomach is dropping. I will say my best. I'm trying to get over the situation, but you don't get over someone that fast. And then I have to listen to you on this. It was whatever. And so that's when I made my first TikTok because I don't know what's being said about me on that side with his friends and family. And that was where I was like, I'm doing my best to do what I can to move on and be still loving. Like, I still have love for you. I'm still going to try to be not this person, turn into this person. And I don't think I did. I just think I shared my side of the story. But so I got on TikTok and I was like, you know, does anyone else's ex-fiance who left them right before you're supposed to get married, call them, butt dial again? I actually gave him the benefit of the doubt because I'm still doing that it was a butt dial. And everyone I sent it to was like, oh my God. First of all, how could he butt dial you? It's 2023. It's very hard to butt dial, especially when it's not one of your top contacts. You know, the lineup of where that conversation started, so you knew he just bought dinner for someone. Like, he also could have, at that point, it was a voicemail. He saw that your name was there. He would have been like, I'm sorry, don't listen to that. Like, I don't know where that starts. I got nothing. So everyone else was like, you know, that's cruel. It's cruel. He's still, like, every moment since he said, I'm not marrying you has been cruel. So I made the TikTok, and then people were like, tell the story, tell the story. And so I sat down and I wrote it out as cleanly as possible. And some people made notes like, why are you looking down? And I was like, I'm nervous. I'm scared. But yeah, like, I want to tell my side of the story. I no longer want to sit here where people are, where are the wedding photos on her Instagram? Where are, like, what happened? What did she do? Like, all those things. And again, I shouldn't care what people think. But in that moment, it was my birthday and I was just like, this is it. I'm starting with a clean slate and I'm going to tell my side of the story. And that's how the TikTok got picked up, which is a 3-minute version of everything I've just said right now.
Good for you. And God, I mean, I'm hearing everything that happened after the wedding. And it sounds like you said, like, cruel. Like, it sounded like he was punishing you in a way. So I think, like, for the 5% of people who left negative comments on your TikTok, in their mind, they're probably thinking, well, what did she do? Like, what did she do to make him punish you like this? Like, what do you think from his standpoint? Why do you think he would do that after all this? When he's objectively in the wrong.
He doesn't want to feel like it was him in the wrong. Like, it's possible he cannot fathom what he's done. Honestly, I think it's hard. It's hard for any person to think that they did that to another person. So there needs to be a reason. Like, no one just does this. And I think that he needed a reason to say, like, this is it. And I actually did forget a really juicy part, which was, and it's in the TikTok, which was, and that's where I got really, really mad and made the full TikTok, the other girls that came forward of the messages. So that's where the anxiety, I kept talking about the anxiety and the therapy. And, like, I heard from other girls that he had spoken to and, you know, also saying, like, you know, they were confused and all that. And there were messages, some of them in the screenshots dating back to the first year we were dating, some of the messages dating to days before we bought a house together. Like, I just, it's so confusing to me that the whole, and that's, again, the first part I said, I'm so confused as to this person. And again, I think you need a reason to also do that. And, you know, there were times I caught a Snapchat where, you know, I'm being crazy. I'm being like, we can't be together if you're accusing me of this. So there's women's Snapchats and there's, you know, things that pop up on the iPad and he's saying it's synced to, like, college and he got all his old messages back. And I'm silly and looking back of, like, I just wanted to believe it. I wanted to be with this person. I wanted, again, like you said, like, I wanted to believe these actions and words that you also loved me too. But yeah, that was also the juicy part I forgot. But,
well, I mean, it answered the next question I was going to ask. Yeah. Is that, do you think he was cheating on you throughout your entire relationship? Which it sounds like yes. So then, I mean, we have no idea. I mean, we have the...
I only caught the one, truthfully. And, you know, there is a level of, like, what do you think is cheating? And is messaging somebody cheating, even if you don't act on it? But, like, looking at the messages, you're like, you don't say that to someone. Like, you wouldn't do that in front of me. So why would you do it behind my back?
Well, emotional infidelity, I think, is just as valid. I mean, if you're looking for attention, or if you're going out and you're flirting, it's the same thing. You're cheating on your partner. We can call it microdosing, or, you know, a little but, like, regardless, it's some kind of infidelity. So then my second question is, let's say that there was a theme of discontent and him wanting to look for other women or validation throughout the relationship. Why do you think he just didn't break up with you before the engagement? Like, why do you think he decided to go through with it?
It's better for us to, like, be no contact. And that is a lingering question that I think I have to, one, let go of, but I'll always have, but it's something I just have to let go, that sometimes you just don't get the answer. You don't get closure. I don't know, when I looked at him and said, am I your forever person, or I can go back to my social circle, my support system, which, again, I'll harp on till the minute I die how great of a support system that I had here. Like, I have that. I have such a community, and it's not here. You're my community. So if you don't want to be my community, you don't have to be. I gave you the out. And I gave you the out before we paid the money for the wedding. I gave you all these outs. Sometimes I think there must have been something in the back of his mind that clicked, that he maybe wanted to hurt. Maybe he thought I hurt him in some way, in a different way, or like the trust thing, or I have no idea. I would love to say, like, it turned into, like, everyone was so excited for the bride, and, you know, he had come to the bridal shower and he saw the bachelorette, and I had, you know, I think 15 to 18 women actually come to my bachelorette, and he watched all this community and support. And I don't know if he thought, like, I was better off with that, but I just think there were better ways to go about what had went down, and a gentler way to, like, do this to another person.
There are 1,000 other ways he could have done. Even let's give him the benefit of the doubt, and let's say really the day of the wedding, he's just like, I can't do this. I thought I could do this. I can't do this. He could have been so much kinder with the way he went about it. Instead, he ditched you for the woods and was like, see you never. Enjoy the wedding. I'm going to alert my friends and family that they can bounce. I'm leaving you.
And I will say, it bounced between him being like, well, you needed that community, to you had this party and an anger towards it. You went and did the whole thing. You had your wedding anyway.
What were you supposed to do? You either lose out on the money or...
Right. You know, eventually we had to speak to each other and be in the house together. And there were flowers and cookies and balloons and Halloween things that people were trying to cheer me up with. And that is the moment I told him, I was like, I just want you to know, because I'm not in charge of other people's social media and you have all my friends, we're going through with this party. And I remember him looking at me saying, well, don't you just get everything? And I kind of was like, well, not everything. I am also confused as to why I wanted you at that party. You were supposed to be at the party with me. And he did walk out the door after that statement. But I don't know. It was so complicated and so confusing. But again, like, it all came down to, like, this huge support system that I had that has kept me going, did keep me going in those moments, has always been around me. And that also seemed to make him upset.
What was the reaction on both your family side? Because you talked a little bit about, like, how his mom sent a congratulation text and then they all bounced from the wedding. So, like, did they apologize for his behavior in any way, or did they kind of just go MIA?
It started with, like, we're so sorry this is happening. They saw me, like, as if I was around for 7 years. You know, it's pretty integrated into the family at that point, and I felt pretty close with all of them. And it's not like we ever had any issues. I know people say they have issues with in-laws, but they were generous and great and participated in, like, wedding events. And it was, you know, once they said that, they kind of bounced, and I haven't heard anything since. I've heard things that he has said that they said about me, but at that point, I don't know what's true and what's not. There's been some accusations that came from him. So again, I don't ever want to say that that is what happened, but...
Accusations in what way? Like, you cheated on him and that's why he's bouncing?
No, more so it was about, like, the wedding and how we, like, took the money. And it was about like how they actually, I think the worst thing I heard, like heart-wise, like heartbreak-wise, was they never saw him with somebody like me, which I actually have no idea what that means. And again, this all came from his mouth. I don't know if this is anything they said. I don't know if he was trying to hurt me, but that I don't even know what that means. But that was the one that like sticks in my brain at the most when I was like trying to pack my stuff up and leave and just hear that, you know, I was never supposed to be with him anyway.
I mean, just the way that you've described this breakup, it sounds like he had some kind of resentment towards you. How have you been dealing with this? I mean, are you in therapy? Are you talking to somebody about this?
Yes, I am in therapy. I'm still working with the person that I was working with to begin with, who I will say, and this is not to get back at that comment, because now that it sounds like that, everyone told me they took a sigh of relief. Everyone told me that something was awry and that they loved that I was happy, but they saw the mean streak. They saw the resentment. They saw these things I had, like we went on vacations and we, all this stuff that most people took a deep breath that it didn't happen. They just hated how it happened. And that's inclusive of like my therapist, who, when I walked in and told her it was canceled and I was crying, she was like, I thought you would have canceled it. I thought you knew that you deserved better. So, you know, as I speak and was telling people like the story I'm telling you, I saw it with rose colored glasses. I saw this person who obviously always had like a cruelness there. I just was blind and thinking like it was never towards me. So it's interesting to hear that. And it's always like, you're better off. Also, someone who could do that to another person, you're better off. So I'm trying to look at the bigger and better, very like the universe took something away, is going to give something better. It wasn't meant to be. So other than like, I am, you know, trying my best. I still get sad. I still, you know, it's only been 3 months since that happened. So it did take me 3 months though to speak up. I will say that, like, I was scared to speak up, scared to tell my side of the story. Like, again, just worrying about protecting him and protecting, like, now that my family hears other things that went on, like, they didn't know, like, the half of, like, what was happening because I was so far away. They just love having me back here, and the support, I'll never stop saying it, the support of friends, family. People have taken, again, planes and trains to come see me, to stay with me, to do girls' night, to, you know, even my friends, like, that have boyfriends and husbands have, you know, made sure we're at the bar, I get a drink, they get their wife a drink, they get their girlfriend a drink, Victoria gets a drink, like, make sure, you know, that she makes it home safe, like, all this stuff. So it's just, it's so heartwarming, and it's the best part of it all to have that. But, it, you know, it sucks. That's, like, ultimately, point blank, all of this sucks, and it's going to take a minute to recover.
You did say you had love for him. So why did you see your life with this person? Because we can hear all this and we're just hearing the bad. So we're like, oh my God, that guy sucks. But
yeah,
what was it about this relationship that you really saw forever in?
I felt my safety in him, which is the worst part, because I felt like all of my safety was ripped out from under me, and I was so alone and bearing against the world. I felt like he always was trying to me, before like all the resentment, it seemed like he wanted the best for me. Like, he really was presenting. And I will say, what everyone said was like, you guys were always laughing. Every time we saw you, we couldn't tell that this was going on in the background because you guys were always laughing. We very much were like, in the moments we were happy, it was so happy. It was so good. The ring, the proposal, like when it was there, it was there. And when it was fun, it was fun. And it was just, again, we really were always laughing. He's probably still like the funniest person that I ever have like come into contact with. And it all ties back very beautifully to like, one day we'll laugh about it. And I had actually said that on the way out, and I regretted it because I was like, I don't want you to laugh about this. But I did say that to him, and I said, you know, one day we'll laugh about it. And just to tie that up with a bow.
If you could leave my audience with any advice, would it be one day you're going to laugh about this, or are you still not there yet?
I think in life, it's just one day you're going to laugh about it. And even of the absurdity, like there are so many jokes you can make, and there are so many fun anecdotes that I now have. Like, you have to laugh at just how you make a plan and the universe is just going to do what it does. So you have to kind of stay positive. You have to laugh about it. It will get better. I remember like the second day thinking it will never get better. I will never feel better. And although I'm sad, like every day gets a little bit easier. Every day you're thinking about what your next step is. But yeah, no, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. So
tune in for Thursday's breakdown bonus episode. We're talking about how to get over the person you thought you were going to spend the rest of your life with. I mean, what a mind fuck, right? I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.